This is our first interview right now of the Great American Stories, our working title. Sitting here with Mr. Irvin Hines. Irvin, hello, Irvin.
How you doing today,
Mr. Irvin? I'm doing good. You want to go by Irv or Smurf? You go by Smurf.
I would like to be known as Irvin, my given name. Smurf is a name that I was recognized with in the streets.
In the streets.
When I was destroying the streets that I grew up in. Smurf was a name that my friends gave me, and because, you know, growing up, you don't never use your real name anyway.
No.
So Smurf was something that was given to me by my friends, my close friends.
All right. Yeah. How old are you when you got Smurf?
I was 16 years old.
Okay. You've brought it up to me. This was actually one of the first things I remember you saying to me. And at first I thought you were just being, you know, silly or cracking a joke about it, but you brought it up multiple times, so I'm going to ask you, what's up with this you running to be Portland's mayor thing? Like, are you really running to be the mayor, or what's up? Is that like a thought process, or what is this running for mayor?
You know, I used to never wanted to share this with nobody. I just wanted to explode on its own. But the reason why I want to run for mayor is because I'm a product. I call myself Portland's native son. I'm a product of Northeast Portland. I have been raised here. I know Portland like the back of my hand. And if there's anyone that's more familiar with Portland, it's me. But most importantly, I want to bring light to issues that I've watched mayoral candidates, governor candidates seek big interest, meaning everywhere I look now, there's homeless camps all over Portland. And that's not to say that some of those people don't want to be that way. But I don't remember that having to be happening when I was young. We didn't see that.
Back in the 80s, there wasn't just this influx of homeless folks?
We didn't have that. We had what you call bums. And bums, and I'm not saying it in a derogatory form, but I'm saying it because they would stand outside the liquor store, the neighborhood stores, and bum change so they can get beer. But they had places to go to. They never slept on the streets. So this problem is something that not is something brand new. It should be something that should be formidable to solve. And I'm not saying that you could solve it for everybody because you got mental health situations. There's all kind of problems out there that I believe that candidates should be bringing light to, and they're not. And I'm not saying not all of them don't. But for me, it's not about winning the mayoral position. It's about bringing light to issues that still exist now that existed when I was a kid. For instance, the prison reform. We have to have some prison reform.
Okay, Ben, you can finally say you're going home next year.
That's true. First time in 22 years I can say that.
First time in 22 years you can say that. And to be honest, when I first met you, you were the longest person within Department of Corrections that I had encountered and hung out with that has been in the middle of an active term. And my first reaction when seeing you was, wow, this guy is really normal for being locked up all this time. I mean, you were educated. You were focused on what we're doing. You understand you didn't have any of these personality traits I might think someone incarcerated for 22 years may have.
Well, I think...
And I mean no disrespect by saying that. But.
Yeah, I think sometimes the traits people develop is often a result of just the environment, what the prison fosters, you know, the kind of trauma that people experience. But, you know, I think I've just always had a lot of support. I've always been able to build community wherever I was at. You know, it wasn't always easy. I mean, I did some whole time. I did, you know, a lot of, I did drugs in prison sometimes at the end of my sentence. There's a lot of, I'm not sure why I've been able to keep my head. I think there's a number of factors to that.
Well, how old were you when you first fell?
Well, I went to prison at 18. I'm 44. And I got out at 22, and I returned to prison at 22 for 22 and a half years.
Whoa.
I was out 10 and a half months.
Dang. So you're obviously not the same person you were when you, you know, committed these crimes at 22. At what point during your this very long prison set did you decide, okay, my life needs to go a different direction? And, I mean, because you said you've gotten you've gotten really educated while being locked up. Was that like a certain aha moment, or was that kind of a gradual process?
I would say it's a process. I had a pretty good outlook when I came in, because before I went to prison, I started to change my life. But I had done my robberies the summer before. Mm. And then a guy got pulled over that gave me a ride one time, and he just said, "Hey, I know about some robberies you're investigating." And he gave my name, and I was starting to get on with my life. And then they came and arrested me and indicted me for several robberies, and then I got 22 years out of it. But I think and it was probably when I started doing education. You know, I took an Inside Out class, which with a professor named Michelle Enderbitson, and from Oregon State University, and people tried to talk me into it. I didn't want to do it. I was terrified to talk to the public, because I was just used to talking to prisoners, other men, to be honest. And the only women I had really talked to in 11 years was cops or people in my family, maybe a friend here or there on the phone. But so I took this class, which is a college class. Inside Out program was developed in Philadelphia at Greaterford Prison by a lady named Lori Pompa. And you bring 15 students in, and 15 of us go in, and we take a 400-level college class together.
Okay.
And so that was
what class was it?
It was classics of criminology, or something to do with criminology, a sociology class. It had to do with theories of crime, why people commit crime, stuff like that. And I was terrified that I was going to fail. So, and I didn't know how to write a 5-paragraph essay. And I remember I was terrified to talk to this 19-year-old the first day in the class. They set the class up in a circle, and you have to sit across from the stranger right when you get there.
Okay.
I covered my tattoos, and when you're talking to a woman after that many years, in your mind you think, I'm breaking a rule right now. And that's how you think, because the prison has conditioned you to think.
Well, this is live in CRCI. My name is Armand Pouspisan, sitting here with Will Johnson.
Sir.
AKA
Willpower.
Willpower. Will, you're my buddy walking around here. And
likewise.
Yeah. And we were on the same unit for a couple of months.
Yes,
and
sir.
You were the only guy that I see around, you know, in this little circle we had up there in our unit that woke up every single day, head in a book, pen on some paper, trying to do something to better yourself, actively.
Yes, sir.
Capitalizing on your time. I guess the real question is, what are you doing over there with all your books and pens, man? Why aren't you gambling and screaming? Why aren't you gambling and screaming with everyone and looking at your TV all day, dude?
That's a good question.
You don't seem to be distracted by all of the riffraff and noise and somewhat level of negativity that's going around the facility. Why is that?
You know, Mr. Armand, I feel like in this point in time in my life, I've done a lot of wasting time. And so with that being said, I'm not necessarily trying to catch up, but what I am trying to be is renewed in my thinking. And of course, not necessarily a book is going to define me being a new person, but some of the books that I have taken a liking to have helped with me being aware of some things that I wasn't aware of before coming in here. And one of those would have to be the book of Narcotics Anonymous. And so the 12 steps are a part or an extension of some of the books that I read. And when I do have the pen and paper, it's asking questions in regards to not necessarily my drug using or alcohol using, but more so, why do I do what I do?